meteor shield and only blew a tiny hole through the hull.
Maybe, Pancho conceded. She took a swift scan of the instruments. Pressure in the cargo bay down to nothing, but here in the cockpit, we're okay. Good thing I got into the suit, though. Collision rate's dropping. We're coming out of the ring. Good thing about the suit. If we'd have been punctured here in the cockpit, I'd be dead.
We're almost clear, Wanamaker said, a smile breaking out on his weather-beaten face.
Pancho reactivated the collision alarm's chime. It was down to a lullaby. I think we made it, she said to Wanamaker.
I'll go back to the bay and see how Manny's getting along.
He'll have to stay inside the suit until we dock at the habitat. Cargo bay's the only space big enough for him to climb out of the suit, and it's open to vacuum now.
Right, said Wanamaker, opening the hatch. The air pressure in the cockpit remained normal.
Pancho realized the hatch of the cargo bay must also have closed automatically.
Oh, Jake, she called. Check the freezer. Make sure it isn't damaged.
Aye, Captain, Wanamaker said, grinning and tossing her a crisp salute.
Pancho grinned at him, but her face contorted in surprised terror as she turned back and saw an ice chunk as big as an apartment building dead ahead. She yanked the controls and it dropped from her view. Wanamaker and Gaeta both yelled in a fervent blend of Spanglish and Seaman's cursing.
Sorry about that,
Pancho called to them, realizing they had nearly run smack into one of the shepherding moonlets that orbited just along the edge of the ring.
For what it's worth, she added, her grin returning, we're in the clear now.
12 April 2096. Return. Chris Cardenas literally bumped into Wonderly as the two women ran down the passageway that opened onto the airlock area at the habitat's end cap. Tavalera and Timoshenko were sprinting up ahead of them, almost at the airlock hatch. Timoshenko was pushing a small dolly.
They're okay, Chris, Wonderly puffed. I monitored their transmissions in my office. Manny's okay.
Cardenas nodded. It was rough, though.
But they're okay.
Wonderly smiled weakly as they slowed to a halt.
Nobody got hurt.
It was an apology, Cardenas understood. But she was in no mood to accept an apology. I hope your samples are what you wanted, she said, without even trying to keep the bitterness out of her voice. Rolling the dolly he'd been pushing up to the much bigger flatbed cart for the excursion suit, which they'd left at the airlock, Timoshenko plugged a comm set into the bulkhead socket next to the heavy steel hatch, then held one hand over the earplug. Okay, he said into the pin mic at his lips. Confirm docking. Tavalera turned to the two women. They're docked, he said, unsmiling. Cardenas waited for what seemed like hours, watching the airlock hatch, waiting for it to swing open, waiting for Manny to return to her. She couldn't help glancing at Wonderly. Nadia seemed just as eager, just as impatient. Her precious samples, Cardenas grumbled to herself. Manny and Pancho and Jake damn near got killed so she could get her ice flakes. But beneath her seething emotions, Cardenas knew she could not stay angry at her friend. They got back all right. Nobody got killed. All's well that ends well, she told herself. I can't be mad at you, Nadia. I understand you too well. Gaeta's in the airlock, Timoshenko announced, his hand still pressed against the comm plug in his ear. He is opening the inner hatch. Watching Wonderly's expectant face, eyes wide, lips apart in anticipation, the last remnants of Cardenas's anger melted. She slid an arm around Wonderly's shoulders and said softly, I really hope they've brought the proof you need, Nadia. Wonderly's eyes misted over. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for everything. I know you didn't want Manny to go. I know you... The inner hatch clicked and swung slowly outward like the massive door of a bank vault. Gaeta clumped over the sill in the bulky excursion suit. Tavalera and Timoshenko immediately went to his sides, instinctively offering to help him. I can walk by myself, Gaeta's voice boomed from the suit's speakers. Cardenas thought he sounded tired. Spent. While the airlock door swung shut again, Tavalera went behind Gaeta's suit and began unsealing its hatch. Cardenas went back with him.
The samples? Wonderly asked, her voice pitched high.
In the cryo unit, Gaeta said. Pancho and Jake are bringing it out.
As if on cue, the airlock hatch swung open again. Pancho and Wanamaker stepped carefully through, carrying the freezer unit like a miniature coffin. Cardenas paid no attention to them. She went around to the back of the big suit and watched as Manny ducked through the hatch and, a little wobbly, set his soft, booted feet on the deck.
"You're bleeding," Cardenas blurted.
"I am?"
"Your nose!"
She rushed to him, put her arms around him.
"Are you all right?"
"I am now."
He smiled and touched his nose gingerly with a fingertip. It came away bloody.
"Must have bumped it. It was a little rough for a while." "But you're all right," Cardenas repeated.
The smaller dolly was for the cryo unit, Cardenas realized. The instant Pancho and Wanamaker loaded it onto the little cart, Wonderly grabbed the control bar and started pushing it up the passageway at a trot. Pancho chuckled.
"Somebody ought to tell her that that rig has an electric motor on it. She can ride it back to her lab."
"Let her push," Cardenas said, also smiling. "The exercise will do her good." 13 April 2096, the morning after. Nadia Wonderly had not slept at all. She spent the entire night alone in the biology laboratory, studying the samples of ice particles Gaeta had brought back to her. For weeks she had annoyed the biologists by borrowing, caging, jury-rigging equipment from them to build a completely self-contained cryogenic analysis apparatus. About the size of a tabletop microwave oven, it was physically separated from the rest of the lab by miniature airlocks and biohazard screens to prevent contamination of the returned samples. The gleaming white apparatus was also thickly insulated to keep the ice particles at nearly the same temperature they existed at in the rings themselves. Most of the work she had done herself. Only rarely could she cajole a technician to help her. Even then, they joked about Wonderly's icebox. Now she sat in front of a display screen that showed one of her precious ice particles. Her tests had proven that the 6-centimeter-wide chip consisted of amorphous ice, not the crystalline type of ice that was normal on Earth, but a form that was structurally more like a fluid in which molecules could flow and interact. "Like glass," she told herself. "Glass is liquid in structure. It just happens to be solid at normal terrestrial temperatures. Amorphous ice is solid at nearly 200 below zero, but its structure isn't rigid. The molecules aren't locked in place. They can move around and combine with one another. Chemistry can take place inside amorphous ice." Wearily, Nadia rubbed at her eyes. "It's amorphous ice, all right. And there are microbe-sized particles inside it. But are they alive? They're not doing anything. They're just sitting inside the ice chip, as inert as specks of dust." She pushed herself up from her chair, every muscle in her body complaining. "I need a biologist," Wonderly said to herself. "Who can I recruit from the staff to help me?"
"It was a terrible punch," Holly was saying to her sister over morning coffee. "He wiped the floor with me." "Couldn't have been that bad," Pancho said soothingly. "Worse." Pancho had come to her sister's apartment for breakfast after Holly had called her in the middle of a strenuous bout of morning lovemaking with Wanamaker.
"Let it ring,"
Wanamaker had puffed. Once he'd gone in for a shower, Pancho had checked the phone's messages, then called Holly to tell her she'd be over in an hour or less. Pancho had never seen her sister look so glum. This election means a lot to her, she realized. Holly's found something that's important to her. "Look," she said to Holly, "first thing to do is call Nadia and see if she's really found living critters in the samples. Everything hangs on that."
Wonderly was neither in her home, her office, nor her laboratory. She was in the cafeteria having breakfast with Daoud Habib and Yolanda Negroponte. Wonderly had called Habib the night before, once she realized she needed a biologist to help her analyze the ring particles.
"Yolanda is the best on our biology team.
Habib had said, by way of introduction.